This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Horace Blackman, CIO and Director of IT Support Services at the Veterans Affairs Department's Central Office. Good morning, Horace. How are you?
Good morning, John. Thank you very much for having me.
I was reading Federal Computer Week. There's an article about mobile devices, and up popped this character's name, Horace Blackman. And I said, my, what an interesting name. And he manages mobile devices and works with people that manage mobile devices. I figured, geez, he's bound to have made a lot of mistakes and a lot of lessons learned, and perhaps my listeners can benefit from some of his experience. And that's why we brought you in the studio today, Horace. Horace, give us listeners maybe a little bit about your background and how you wound up at the VA, please.
Well, John, I've been in IT for some time. You know, I've worked around IT, started my days in the original online media back in the mid-90s. Spent a number of years in management consulting and have done a lot of work within the federal IT space. At some point, about 6 years ago or so, the VA was one of my clients, and we did a lot of work with the VA, spent a lot of time working with the VA, and actually an opportunity came up for me to actually go to work for the VA to continue to make a difference using IT to help the veterans. So that's how I kind of came about, my background, and how I wound up at the VA.
Well, great. And this article was, you know, many, many hundreds of words about mobile devices and managing mobile devices, and you talked about networks and FTS. And maybe for the benefit of some of our listeners who aren't familiar with how the federal government manages mobile devices, give us maybe your thumbnail sketch or 40,000-foot view of how agencies manage devices and how they've maybe changed in the last few years.
Yeah, well, John, one of the things we realize is, you know, the mobile device platform is really an extension of what we have, our normal PC-based platform. The intention is to enable users to access information in a smaller form factor, a little bit more portable, be able to actually have folks be able to be more accessible and still have access to the information they need. We have folks that are clinicians. We have folks that are benefits administrators, law enforcement folks. We have folks who manage cemeteries or what have you that are always on the move. Quite busy folks, even folks, administrative type folks in our central office, everybody's in a move. We find a case where we have folks in meetings, we have folks that are traveling, but what we found is that we can ill afford to have folks disconnected from the information they need to make decisions when they're not sitting in front of a computer. So, you know, the rise of, you know, the ubiquitous BlackBerry, if you will, cell phones beget BlackBerries, and the need to have access to information certainly has not gone down. It's gone significantly up. So that's been a big driver in how we've gotten to the place we have. You know, at the VA, we've got something in the order of about 19,000 devices in our enterprise right now, a significant amount. But I think if you consider the fact that the VA, as the second largest department in the federal government, has about 400,000 folks within our enterprise, these are employees, contractors, affiliates, residents, you name it, it's actually a small number. It's about 5% or so. So we try to make sure we have the right level of access, the right level of capabilities delivered to the right people to ensure that they can be able to do their jobs. Mobile devices, in addition to having the number out there and how we manage them, they're a critical part of the information flow as well. You know, we talk about how we can deliver more. I think what one of the things we realize is 10 years ago, if you had a job, you're a knowledge worker, you were usually mated to a PC. And, you know, if you had a laptop, you can do some portable things. You were trying to search for Wi-Fi, et cetera. You know, fast forward 10 years to where we are today, it's less about the device you have and more about the access to the information you need to do your job and make decisions.
Some people say MDM doesn't stand for mobile device management. It stands for mobile data management. Maybe that's the transition you're talking about. Is actually
absolutely.
Managing that data.
I think if you think about where we are right now, what people really need, it's less about what the device is and more about what information you need to do your job, make decisions, et cetera. So I think, I would definitely have to agree with you on that one.
It's interesting. Everyone knows these figures, and I'll just bore people to tears. You know, 4 to 5 Americans own a cell phone. 50% of those own a smartphone, and, about a quarter of those go online with their phone. So it's obvious, even someone just walking out of college, walking down the street, you can tell that human beings are using mobile devices, iPads, iPhones, all kinds of devices. And if you bring them off the street and hire them, they're going to want to use them for work. And this is a challenge, I think, that you have. You have 400,000 people that are knocking on your door saying, well, I want to bring this in my office and use it. And you and other people in your office have to make some policies or rules for, okay, how are we gonna, what about security? What about medical applications? I mean, I don't know how to even start.
Well, I mean, for us, we think about the four rights. You know, you want to have the right person having the right access to the right information at the right time. So I think once we use a framework to decide how we're able to manage these things in a policy-based environment, I think that actually works pretty well for us. I think we've set up a number of policies. I think the ecosystem we've worked with for the past 10 years, a number of folks have had, the BlackBerry Enterprise system is something we've done a lot with. We've learned a lot from. We've understand how to manage things centrally. Encryptions and security management is a big deal for us, and we've gotten a lot of experience using that platform. So when we come to a point where in which we are ready to transition to the next thing, whatever that may be, I think we're coming at it from a basis of having understood how to do things, how to do remote wipes on machines, how to provision machines in the most effective manner. Most importantly, and I think this is the part I think that drives a lot of this, we understand the cost curve of these things, right? Where we're going right now, cost effectiveness and operational efficiencies are things that are really a big focus for us. So I think having had the experience of managing 19,000 devices across the entire VA, I think we have a very good understanding of the types of questions to ask when the new challenges are arising, whether they're bring your own device, BYOD, whether they're integrating new technologies, new standards, whether it's iOS, whether it's the Android ecosystem, or whatever the case may be, I think we're going into it in a very informed manner. We understand the right questions to ask. We understand the issues that are really confronting us on these, and I think we're best prepared to make some informed decisions about how to move forward.
I've been involved in technology for many decades, and I had people in the air here in 2007. I talked about the federal desktop core configuration, which is great. But my reaction was, it's 2007. I mean, these desktops have been on for a while. So I think what you're trying to do is starting to say, well, let's catch the wave, maybe a little bit before it breaks. I mean, if we can come up with some policies and some standards and some guidance before everyone in the world has an iPad, then perhaps we can be more proactive as far as security and compliance. And you deal in the world of medical compliance as well. And this gets to be a whole different level of sophistication.
Absolutely. I think it's a case where you have to, you bring up a very good point. The technology we're talking about is really in its infancy. When we think about the mobility in terms of apps, et cetera, the iOS ecosystem's about 6 years old or so. When you think about the degree to which it's mainstream in large enterprises and the concept of developing apps as part of your core infrastructure in a large enterprise, you're really only talking about 2 years or so, give or take, right? So you're talking about a ecosystem, more or less. I know there's been new versions and these things that come about. That's 2 years old. So when we think about anything that's 2 years old, we really have to understand where we are vis-a-vis the technology adoption curve. In a large enterprise with a lot of people, whether you're the government, whether you're a large corporation, you want to make intelligent decisions. You don't want to simply be absolutely reactive to the every single technological trend that comes about. You've got to understand how it positions you, not just for what customers are asking you for today, but what the needs of the business will be, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. If you buy a laptop today, the thought process is that device is going to be with you for 4 years. And I think it certainly should be expected that when you go for a mobile device, you should be looking at something along those same lines as well. So the platform, how you use it, the ecosystem that goes with it, you have to think about how to put yourself in an adoption curve that evolves with you and evolves with you from a policy base, a technology base, and a cost efficiency base as well.
We're going to have to take a quick break. We come back, talk more about this whole idea of standards and government-wide standards and what agencies should look for and what maybe the GSA can provide and just guidelines for trying to come up with policies for different agencies, especially every agency has seemed to different requirements. And what can you learn from the GSA? What can you learn from networks and maybe apply it to future policies for mobile devices? You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Horace Blackman, CIO and Director of IT Support Services at the Veterans Affairs Department's Central Office. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Horace Blackman, CIO and Director of IT Support Services at the Veterans Affairs Department's Central Office, talking about a little mobile madness, about how agencies can figure out how to policy all these mobile devices that are just flooding into the agencies and flooding in everywhere, commercial, government, everywhere. My wife and I were at a church event on Sunday night. It was maybe, you know, maybe 100 people in there. And all of a sudden, I see the sound guy walking to the main aisle, and he's got an iPad, and he has a control board on his iPad for the audio. And so what he's doing, he has an application, a mobile application that allows him to control the music in a mobile fashion. And so I just thought that was fascinating. I'm saying to myself, well, there must be 10,000 apps like this that I'm not even aware of that people like Horace have to contend with. So someone knocks on his door and says, well, I have this mobile app for medical monitoring, and you have to worry about FIPS, FISMA, HIPAA compliance, security.
Absolutely.
And a lot of my listeners in that same position where they're in managerial roles and people waltz in and say, well, I'm using this at my church. I can just use this at work. And so what do you say, Horace? That's what I want to know.
Well, you know, we always have challenges with these. And the challenges with mobile apps is not that dissimilar with folks who are finding a piece of software that they like and they want to use on their PC. What you do on one computer and what you do on 400,000 is a very different thing altogether, right? So we have to look at it from the perspective. At its core, when we think about how to manage the ecosystem that it's associated with mobile, there really has to be really two prongs to that approach, a technology element of what can be done, how do you manage it, how do you ensure it's secure, how do you administer it, how do you enable the workforce so you can actually distribute these things, provide tiered support when they break, they don't work, et cetera. How do you manage that? How do you manage the vendors, et cetera? And then there's a policy base. You know, we are part of the federal government. I think your example you use about the gentleman at your church, right? You know, the question becomes, you know, if you're in a federal government, there are things that come into the environment by virtue of being in the federal workforce. Is that device subject to FOIA, for instance? If there is data stored on the device, and we usually try not to do that, what happens if there is something like a subpoena issue?
Legal issues, exactly.
What starts to happen there? But there's also the mechanical thing. You know, you have a new virus that is discovered that affects a particular set of devices. How do you enable your ecosystem to do pushes to ensure that you're protected, right? So there are a number of these faceted things that come into play. The ecosystem we've been operating on before, you know, gave us a lot of very good lessons learned and how to manage these things. You know, the other thing becomes, as with the gentleman in your church, he brought up the example, what happens if he loses that iPad? Does that mean somebody can find that iPad and go and, you know, change the sound levels in your church?
So BYOD, let's switch to BYOP, bring your own policy. So one policy concern has got to be legal. One policy concern has got to be ability to remote wipe. And if you take a look at the commercial world, you know, I was preparing for this interview and I read a statistic that said that Network World did a survey. 65% of respondents said they lack appropriate tools for handling non-company issued mobile devices. Got to be the same thing in the federal government, huh?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we did a similar survey across the federal government. You found something that's an answer that's not that dissimilar to that. I think what we're looking at And I mentioned earlier that, you know, this is a 2.5 year old ecosystem, if you will, with the technology, the tool sets, et cetera. We're learning more and more about it. The good news is there are tools available to do centralized management. There are tools out there to do policy pushes. We've been using some of these tools in the previous ecosystem that we're currently using. So from that perspective, there are challenges, but from the expertise, from the technology perspective, and from the policy perspective, the experiences we've put together over the last 10 years, I think, prepares us to ask the right questions, deploy the right solutions, develop the right architectures, whereby we can address some of these things. I think if you look across the federal government and you talk to many CIOs, many folks within the space, you'll hear a similar story. The second thing is, it's how fast do you want to do this? One option is you can go out and buy 400,000 devices. You'd have a lot of challenges. It would be very costly.
Half the people hate you, half the people love you. I mean, no matter what you do.
Yeah, I mean, the number of people would be resistant to the device. You'd have training issues. You'd have compliance issues. You'd have a number of things, right? So from that perspective, you've got to figure out how to go through the crawl, walk, run progression. I think where we are in the VA right now, we're in a crawl stage of the game. We started with a pilot. We had a good understanding of what the capabilities of these devices can do. We understood how to use a thin client architecture and a thin client environment to be able to leverage the existing infrastructure so folks can have things like mail, access to data, and that sort of thing in a safe manner that doesn't actually make that device a avenue for risk, if you will. So that's one of the things we've learned. And I think if you talk to other folks within the government, I think they're looking at this as it's a new device. It may be a new platform, but the challenge you have is the same. How do you have data at rest, stay at rest? How do you ensure that the right people, right users have the right level of access to the right data at the right time? What happens when you need to reduce, change, terminate access to systems, data, et cetera? You still have to keep those questions top of mind. And you still have to have the capabilities to be able to do that.
Give you a quick example. USDA has got 3,000 mobile devices. They expect to go to 100,000 mobile devices in the next couple of years. Well, they're going to have to tap into someone like you who've gone through a couple of pilots, and maybe they've gone through pilots too, but every agency may learn something different from a pilot that they go through in order to apply some of these policies. For example, I want to talk a little bit more about medical applications for mobile devices, especially with the VA. I was reading this morning of an AHIMA article by Lydia Washington, and she says right here, there's 10,000 health-related apps out there now.
Yeah.
And look at this. So people in the VA going, look, I have this app that can help me serve my patient better, Horace. Horace, you don't understand. I have to use it. You can hear this conversation. Horace, you don't understand. I've got to use this app. Why are you preventing me or limiting me from using this?
Well, John, I'll do one better for you, right? Not just the 10,000 that are out there. We have folks in the VA who may be
writing their own.
Right? And, you know, VA is an interesting organization because we have a rich history of innovation. And that history is not slowing down. I think with the emergence of apps, the emergence of these things, I think the folks within the VA, we have a huge research community to do a lot of things. And they've been actually hard at work looking at apps. We actually have successfully developed the PTSD Coach app, which helps folks with PTSD. It's something that we looked at. It was developed by one of these innovation programs we have within the VA. We pushed it out, looked at the security of it, understood what it would do. We assessed it. And the answer was we embraced it. We actually are doing some work on a homeless app to look at how to manage veterans' homelessness issues. There are a number of things you're likely going to see coming out of the VA across the next 12, 18 months. So I think it's not just what's out there. And I think if you talk to other federal agencies, you'll find that not only are the apps out there to do basic things very attractive to them, and there's some things you can do with apps right now, telephony, video conferencing, a number of things that we're looking at. There are other apps that are inside of your ecosystem that are unique to you that actually make some of the basic things you do a lot more efficient. So I think you're going to see the growth and explosion of apps. I think a number of organizations are also looking at developing their own app stores.
And when I think of medical devices, it's not just a physician or a nurse walking around with an iPad. There are wireless devices that patients wear. there are wireless devices that operate in hospitals that communicate information back and forth. I mean, this is diving into a big mud puddle. I mean, this is a serious issue here, just managing all these mobile devices and apps. And what about security? What about HIPAA? What about FOIA? What about legal requirements?
I think for us, the answer to how do you actually wade into the waters of mobile devices and these ecosystems and a medical platform? And I think the short answer is very carefully. We've got to make sure that we protect veterans' information to the greatest extent we can, while at the same time enabling clinicians to do their job efficiently. So it's always a balance we're working with. As I mentioned, the history of innovation with these things within the VA has been significant. And we're continuing to look at these things and understand how we can best engage with the vendor community, with folks inside of the VA to make these things happen. I think one of the things you're going to see probably in the next 12 to 18 months is a lot of progress made in this front and how we interact with some of these devices within the clinician community.
Great. We'll have to take a quick break. When we get back, talk more about mobile applications and some of the lessons learned at the VA. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Horace Blackman, CIO and Director of IT Support Services at the Veterans Affairs Department Central Office. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Horace Blackman, CIO and Director of IT Support Services at the Veterans Affairs Department Central Office. He has handled a lot of headaches with mobile devices. I figured we'd bring him in here and perhaps he could share some of his expertise with our listeners who are, you know, everyone's bombarded with mobile devices trying to figure out what's the best policy. What should we do? What should we not do? Well, the VA has had some experience in this. Maybe we can garner some information from, you know, some of the lessons learned with him, especially in some of the more complex areas with medical mobile devices. I was reading an article this morning in eWeek. And there's a group called Coal Fire, C-O-A-L, Coal Fire. They did a survey of regular commercial folks, people in Chicago and Dallas and all anything else. And 47% have no passcode on their mobile device, and 51% can't remote wipe their data. So looking at the VA, they're light years ahead of a lot of commercial people. I mean, you've been there, done that, got the paycheck, had the, you know, the name in the Washington Post, and have changed drastically. And you may even be a leader in this whole area of security with mobile devices.
Well, yeah. I mean, out of challenges you have, sometimes come successes. Right? I'm a firm believer in that. I think you mentioned password protecting things, being able to mobile wipe things. That's for us, that's almost a ticket to admission, right?
Right. You've encrypted all your laptops already.
All laptops are encrypted. We are in the process of encrypting desktop computers as well, because we found that sometimes they may have a nasty habit of growing legs as well. But we still have to find every means that we possibly have of protecting veterans' information. We can't actually put this kind of information at risk at all. That's not something we can afford to do. So for us, when we look at mobile devices, the basics, strong password on the device, looking at how can we provide an encrypted environment within the device, whether it's through a thin client or whether it's through some other means, so that the data that's actually being accessed isn't being transferred to the device with the potential for leakage someplace else. I think that's basically the basic going in position for us.
I write a blog and I read a lot of blogs and all kinds of different topics and all strange different areas, including the Redskins blogs and all kinds of strange blogs on medical devices and healthcare. And I'm going to blog about this interview. Do you have your own blog, or can you recommend a blog for my listeners to read?
For me, I actually do not have my own blog, but I'm an avid follower of other blogs. One of the blogs that I spent a lot of time looking at is actually one of your colleagues here at Federal News Radio, Chris Dorbeck, has a great blog.
Oh, he's a scoundrel. Don't read his stuff.
I think he has a great blog. He has a pretty good insights into what's going on in the federal community. So there are a number of blogs out there that I look at that you can actually gauge a lot of information from.
Well, great. Apps. You know, when you think of apps, you go, well, I have this app. We talked about apps earlier. Well, I have this app that can allow me to do this. Well, great. Well, let's make sure it's secure, and we'll allow my 19,000 people to put it on the list and allow them to use it. Okay, well, what about, you know, changes in operating system? What about changes in security? What about I read about a flash update today. I mean, you know, this isn't, you know, cast in concrete like pouring a sidewalk in front of your house. This is a dynamic mobile situation where 6 months from now, that app that you just approved, all of a sudden it's risky or dangerous.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, if you look across federal space, you're not seeing anybody going out there with an announcement that they're buying, you know, 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 of these things. Everybody is taking a measured approach that we want to ensure that we're in compliance with all the federal information protection standards that are out there, that we have the ability to encrypt these data, remotely manage them, wipe them, administer them properly, push updates out to them, and manage them in the same way we manage the rest of our ecosystem, whether it's a laptop, desktop, you know, another type of mobile device, BlackBerry, what have you. I think that's something that absolutely has to be there. Otherwise, you know, as the technology changes, it introduces a significant amount of risk. And in looking at this, the thing we can ill afford to do is take on risk we don't really understand. I think if we are taking a measured approach to what we're doing, and we're measuring allowing folks to have access to information, but protecting the enterprise at the same time, that's always the mix we're going to have to go with.
Roger Baker, he's
yes, sir.
Yeah, I think he has a blog, doesn't he? I think that'd be probably a good one for my listeners to follow.
I was going to actually give everybody his Twitter feed at the end here.
Sure, hit it. We'll do it twice.
Roger Baker's Twitter feed. You can find him is @VA_CIO.
Good one to follow for this, yeah.
Good one to follow. I think he does a lot of great work. He's a phenomenal boss. You know, you always have to say nice things about the boss.
Or he'll say bad things about you. We know that. I was at a health informaticist meeting, and a fellow by the name of Dr. Neil Evans was up there who works for the VA. That's why I decided, geez, guys in the VA, they really have unique challenges. And he's a physician, and he's doing a pilot with 1,000, I think, iPads. Is that what it is?
The VA, we the VA, a larger enterprise, we started by looking at, the concept of the iPad or iOS device, you know, came about. I should say the tablet, you know, because we've looked at a number of things. We're not wedded to one platform. We began testing a number of devices, some Android-based devices. We have a few of those. We have some iOS-based devices. You know, we have some legacy devices as well. We begun by, as I tell people, putting our toe in the water, if you will, to look at, you know, what can we do? What are the use cases for these devices within our ecosystem? We did a number of
these. And then the ecosystem is 400,000 people. That's a pretty big ecosystem.
Huge ecosystem. We started looking at these, what can we do within our healthcare environment? And we talk a lot about the hospitals. We also run a tremendous benefits management organization that does home loans, that does student loans, that does pension benefit guarantee, a number of things that they do. We also run national cemeteries as well. So we actually looked at how can we integrate these device, this capability into the enterprise and what are the various use cases across our various business lines. I think once we looked at that, we saw some promising things that come out of it. The pilot was expanded. We're at about 1,000 now. We're getting some great feedback. I think folks are understanding probably day by day the different things they can do.
I imagine Roger Baker may write about this or tweet about it as well, places to learn more about these successes. Well,
I think he's had a few times he's actually tweeted. He's actually spoken about this. One of the comments that he's made in the past is that, you know, he can envision a time when we may have, you know, 100,000 of these things in our environment between a mix of devices we have inside, bring your own, whatever the case may be. We can see a very rich ecosystem for these types of devices in the future. But, you know, before we go plunging right into 100,000, we have to understand what makes sense at 100, what makes sense at 500,
right? Different.
What makes sense at 1,000. You know, if you're going to cook pizza, one pizza is great. You know, 100,000 pizzas is a whole different undertaking altogether. How you manage those things is going to change tremendously. I think that's the approach we're taking. So for us, having the scale, the scope that we have, we have some challenges as well. The VA is the second largest department in the federal government. We have a tremendous geography. We have major facilities in all 50 states. We operate facilities in Hawaii, Guam, the Philippines, Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, what have you. We've got to understand how do we introduce something into our enterprise that works the same way in Washington or San Francisco and it actually operates the same way in Manila or our San Juan, Puerto Rico, right? So we've got to understand not just what can these things do, how can we best integrate them into our environment? How can we accommodate them into our various business line, whether healthcare, benefits, cemeteries, or our administrative offices? And how can we protect these things? And how can we make sure that the information that folks are accessing through these devices is actually as safe as it could possibly be?
And if you have to prepare a monthly breach report, how do you do that just geographically and physically, different level, all the different silos to manage just the risk alone, I think, is a full-time job.
Absolutely.
Dozens of people.
Yeah, we learned a lot with laptops. We've got something in the order of about 100,000 laptops in our environment. We understand how to protect them. Encryption's a big thing for us there. Compliance with our FIPS standards are certainly something that's very important to us. So as we roll these devices out, whatever they may be, Android, iOS, or other, we're going to use some of the same lessons we learned in managing the rest of the enterprise to be able to do this going forward.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, talk more about some of your successes in managing mobile devices and some guidance for my listeners on how to design policies that can take advantage of different government programs, including networks and the replacements of networks and FTS. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Horace Blackman, CAO and Director of IT Support Services at the Veterans Affairs Department's Central Office. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Horace Blackman. He's the CIO and Director of IT Support Services at the Veterans Affairs Department's Central Office. During the break, I was asking Horace if he was in fact a card-carrying nerd, and we have some questions to ask to find out if that's the case or not. First question, really, do you have a Twitter handle? Do you tweet at all? Or?
I do tweet sometimes. One person you should follow in terms of Twitter, I highly recommend Roger Baker, is @VA_CIO.
@VA_CIO, great. If you want to follow me, I'm @RayGilRay. And you can find out all kinds of interesting fun facts. I just I tweeted out to the guy who runs Amazon Web Services. He was in Brazil, and I tweeted out a little fun fact about Brazil for him. So what do Vernal Vogels has to say about me after those kind of strange tweets? Every one of my guests, when I get in the studio here, and I hope to get Werner Vogels in the studio, I give them these 10 questions to find out if they're real nerds or not, because a lot of my people are listening and going, well, geez, what's Horace all about? What's his background? Does he really know this stuff? And so I'm going
to
give you the same test I give everyone, Horace.
Okay,
so first question. Year you bought your first computer?
Year I bought my first computer in 1990.
90. Well, that's pretty respectable. Year your first cell phone?
1993.
93. Okay, that was a big, heavy 10-pounder. And you don't have a Twitter feed, and you don't have a blog that's two marks against you. Do you use any online personal backup?
I do. I use a number of online backup tools personally.
Okay.
So I've been using that for quite some time.
What flavor smartphone do you have?
I'm actually a unique individual. I have many.
Many? That's a politically correct answer.
Yeah, I do have an iOS device. I do have an Android device. And I do have one of the older cell phones.
Oh, feature phone. And a number of apps on your Apple product, let's say.
I was anticipating this question. I checked, and it's a big number. It's like 90 is the one I have.
You get points for that. And what kind of tablet device do you own? Or do you own several of those?
I do. I dabble in Android. I do own an iOS device. And I'm always looking for what's coming out next. So I think if you probably get something comes out in the next future, I'll probably be looking at that too.
Right, part of your job. You have to know when people walk in the door with something.
Absolutely.
Social networking sites you participate in?
I have both Facebook and LinkedIn.
Okay.
And Google+.
And Google+. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Google+. And last question. Last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
A long time ago, I figured out that I should read electronic books because I would travel in airplanes and lose the actual
book itself.
Yeah, there's a lot of, if you go on a Delta flight or something, you find a book in that back pocket. It probably was mine.
Attention all listeners. So last book you read was electronic then. Well, that's
yep.
Good. I'll take and put this in my UNIVAC computer and we'll come out what level of a nerd you are here and we'll broadcast that to the world. Getting back to more serious topics here, obviously, you know, the world of desktop computers seems to be at least stagnating. Everyone seems to be moving to mobile devices. Juniper Research predicts that in 2012, 150 million employee-owned computers will be brought into the businesses. They're talking about in 2 years, it'll double to 300 million. And so when we look at USDA going from 3,000 to 100,000 mobile devices, that probably isn't a wild exaggeration, is it? I mean, I can see this big ramp coming up in the future, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Roger Baker stated about a year and some ago that he can envision a future in a not so distant, you know, future that we can have as many as 100,000 of these devices within the VA enterprise. And I think that's a reasonable prognosis to make on this.
So you're the Ben Franklin of what's going to happen in 3 years down the road. They're going to look back and say, well, Horace Blackman said that we can only use this or that, because a lot of the policies you start now are going to have implications
Absolutely.
Down the road.
Now, it doesn't mean we're going to buy 100,000 devices. I think that's a key thing.
They could come into your office whether you like it or not.
Absolutely. I mean, the reality is, you know, BYOD is something that, you know, we've been looking at for quite some time. How we manage these things, thin client's been huge for us. Right now, we have about 5,000 to 10,000 folks each day operate and interact with us on a thin client basis. They're device agnostic on the way in which they interact with us on thin client. They can use their personally owned computer at home, folks who are teleworking. They're folks who can come into us with their personally owned tablet device and interact with our thin client environment. They can get the basic access to their email, documents, stored files, and what have you. We've been at this for probably about 6 years. It's a tremendous success for us with something that we're looking at. We made a tremendous investment in thin client. It's something we understand, and it really achieves the goal of ensuring the data at rest stays at rest. It allows you to interact with data, do your work online, et cetera. It does limit things like external printing and extracting the data offline. But we find that a lot of folks, the nature of what they're doing, that's actually enough for them to get their jobs done.
What if one of my listeners is listening to this interview when there's snow on the ground and they work for a different agency? They work for DOI. They work for Interior. And they're charged with trying to understand how to manage the influx, that tsunami of mobile devices. Should they look at networks and FTS program, or what do you think is coming up that can assist them in that?
I mean, networks and FTS, I mean, are a way in which we can efficiently do purchases for services, for equipment, et cetera, where we can leverage the buying power of and scale of departments, the government, et cetera, to really be able to make the best use of the taxpayers' dollars. So these have been great for us. We love them. We've been using FTS for telecom purchases for quite some time, wireless, what have you. The vendors, our vendor partners, have been great about this. The service offering is phenomenal. These are already pre-competed contracts. So every time you're looking to buy new devices, you're not looking to use a new contract, et cetera, it speeds up the way in which we can do these things. So it's absolutely huge for us. I think the folks at GSA have done a phenomenal job in doing these things, setting them up, putting the infrastructure together such that the different departments, whether it's the VA or other departments, NASA, Treasury, whatever, can take advantage of these things. And I think you're probably going to see this happening more into the future as opposed to less. So I think this is, you know, we're very excited about networks. We're very excited about, you know, FTS is the previous vehicle that transitioned over to networks. So that's a great vehicle for us as well. So we're very excited to see this coming down the pike.
And networks itself is about to make a transition, isn't it?
It is. I think there's a second iteration of it, if you will, that they're going into. I think the folks have learned a lot about the transition made to the first version of networks, and I think it's been worked very well for everybody. I think we've seen a lot of success in how we operate and leverage these things. So it's phenomenal for us, and we're looking forward to what's coming next.
So if you're working for an agency and trying to come up with a policy, I would try to read what Roger Baker has read, or if he's at an event, listen to what he has to say, because it sure seems like VA has been out in the front of this in a lot of interesting areas. I'm thinking about cemetery and managing. I mean, there's probably an app to help someone manage a cemetery somewhere, and where it comes under the umbrella of VA. Well, they're there, huh?
Well, one of the things we've done, and this actually goes back quite some time, speaking of the folks in the cemetery, there actually is on their website today, if you wanted to go on their website and look up someone who may be in a national cemetery, it will tell you that the location of that particular gravesite. They've been doing a great job with this sort of thing. That's one part of the VA that has done a phenomenal job. I can't say enough about them. They actually have one of the highest customer satisfaction ratings of, I think, anybody around. So I think we look for more things from them. They understand their customers very well. They do a phenomenal job. But I could say the same thing about just about every other part of the VA. The medical centers do a great job as well. Our research organizations do a phenomenal amount of jobs, a phenomenal job in these sorts of things. They're the ones out there developing apps, looking at things. The benefits guys are looking at this as well. So it's being attacked, leveraging technology to enable our veterans to have better and more interactive services with the VA has been a theme that I think Roger Baker has put forward from his first day here, and it's something he continues to do.
We just have a quick 10-second prediction here. Give me a 10-second prediction. So you think desktops are going to go by the wayside in 5 years? Are people going to say, what were those? You think they're going to be around? Or where do you think the role of a desktop is in an increasingly mobile world?
Well, you know, it's what I would say, if I look into the crystal ball 10 years from now, I think it's going to be less about the device and more about the data. I think if you look back 10 years ago, there was a heavy concentration on the computer to get to the data.
Fighting about memory, fighting about speed, fighting about cooling, fighting about everything. No one talks about that anymore.
Nope. I think it's all about what data I can access. And the data that we have and we need to access is becoming thinner, lighter. And I think you're going to see more of that going into the future.
Great. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Horace. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Horace Blackman, CIO and Director of IT Support Services at the Veteran Department's Central Office. Thank you, Horace.
Thank you, John. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.